Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Handy, how are we doing today?
Good, Jim. How are you, sir?
I'm actually pretty good today. And you want to know why, Andy?
Sure, Jim. You're going to tell us why anyway, but tell us why, sir.
That is exactly correct. So you're smart enough to humor me. Well, here's why I'm doing well today. Andy, I have probably been using Microsoft Windows for over 30 years, okay?
I always
use PCs. I have Apple devices, phones, iPads, but my computer. And in those 30 years, if there's ever been an issue, Microsoft always has this, way to fix your problem, okay? Click here and we'll investigate. And in those 30 years, do you know how many times the problem's been fixed?
Zero.
Zero would be correct, sir. Yeah. Zero would be correct until today. My computer is said no Wi-Fi. So I'm thinking I've got to reset my modem, that type of thing. I go and check every other device. The Wi-Fi is fine. It's just not working on my computer. So I'm trying to investigate, and there's actually a point where it says, let us investigate, see if we can fix it. And they actually did.
Well, one for 30 years ain't bad, Jimmy, I guess, if you consider it. My question is, if you're an iPad and iPhone, why aren't you a MacBook guy as well, because then they could all sync and talk to each other. And
Andy, old dog, new tricks. That's just too vested. But here's the other thing. At this rate, once every 30 years for Windows to help me out, the next time it helps me out, I'll be 95 years old.
You're going to make it that long, Jim.
It's another incentive for sticking around that long. Well, if I just get to 95, it'll help me out again. All right, Andy. As much as I'm sure everyone is enthralled with my Windows issues, let's move on. Big college football news this week. James Franklin has found a new home. He is now a Virginia Tech Hokie. Andy, good choice for him. Good choice by Virginia Tech.
Yeah, enter Sandman, right, Jimmy? James and his marketing and recruiting machine are going to Virginia Tech. And it's so good for him. I think it was really the only school that was serious about him. There's some noise that maybe Arkansas was interested and there was a conversation of some sort. But basically, all the other SEC schools that have jobs currently open were not all that keen on James. So this is a familiar spot to him to put his, you know, what he does well into place. He is a builder. Virginia Tech needs rebuilt, right? Like, they've had two coaches since Frank Beamer. One was Fuentes, his hand-chosen successor, and then, you know, James's former DC Brent Pry tried to give it a go there. Under-resourced, underperforming, middle of the road. I think they're like a 500 team in the ACC in the last 7 years, like a couple games under or a couple games over. They're very middle of the pack, sort of irrelevant. They were at one time a BCS overrated, in my opinion. They were always overrated. But they were a BCS conversation in that era of college football team under Beamer. James has already proven that he knows how to navigate a legend at a university and sort of leave it behind in sort of a nice way, right? Without, you know, being a bull in a china shop. He'll need to do that again because Virginia Tech needs that. they need to move on from that. It looks like he'll get some of the resources that he needs to do it well, and he will scream and holler at the top of his lungs for a year or two while he gets more and more and more of that. So it is a landing spot where his strengths align, and then they don't have to have as many high expectations out of the gate football-wise, because those are a different conversation altogether. So for what Virginia Tech needs and what Virginia Tech is looking to go to and what they once were, he's a perfect bridge for that. He is a, he said it in his opening press conference, all the way down from staff to ticket manager, and he will manage all the way down the staff, all the way to the ticket managers, trust me. So it's a good hire for Virginia Tech.
James has said his goal has always been to win a national championship. He was unable to do it at that last place he was at. Can he win a national championship at Virginia Tech?
No, he can't. He's got a ceiling. He's really good up into that glass ceiling, and he's not going to be able to crash through it. You can't change him. Could an accident happen? Yeah. Could they make the playoffs and, win a game or two? Maybe. But win a national championship? No. There's not a chance. They can become more relevant and be a program viewed in a different lens under him, but winning a national championship, he's not that coach.
Andy, I've typically been a James Franklin supporter, and I get the reasons why folks would think otherwise. And believe me, I understand why he had to go at Penn State. He had to go. It was the divorce needed to happen for both sides. But I've always disliked the narrative, he can't win the big game.
Right.
Because we've heard that narrative, Andy, about too many coaches, okay? And we hear it right up until the day that they do win the big game. So I've never been comfortable with that narrative. But I actually think he can't win a national championship at Virginia Tech because it's Virginia Tech, not because it's James Franklin. And because of that, I wonder if he's now a little bit handcuffed. If he never can win the big game at Virginia Tech, will he ever get the next job? If you're a Southeast Conference school like a Florida who has aspirations to win a national championship, well, what could James Franklin ever do at Virginia Tech then to earn that next job where he potentially could win a national championship? You know what I'm asking?
Yeah, you're asking. James can create a national championship atmosphere, and he can move a program to the precipice where you think it's possible. He just can't drive it across the finish line. So if you want to be, Lane Kiffin has not won a national championship as a head coach, right? And he's like, everybody's drooling over him for good reason, right? Like it can happen, he's a coach that it could potentially happen for. James isn't one of those, but James brings a bunch of other things that gets you closer, gets you believing, gets you more excited for it. He's fantastic at that kind of stuff. He's a great builder. He cares about people genuinely. He genuinely cares about people, and he truly is committed and believes that the way he does it is the best way and the right way. And in almost every aspect except, performance at the next level, he is capable of that.
Andy, I find it fascinating that you make the Lane Kiffin comparison. gee, Lane Kiffin's never won the big one, but we believe he can. James Franklin's never won the big one, but we don't believe he can. And that's probably an off-season discussion we'll have at some point, Andy.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm going to want to understand the difference between the two, why you feel that way. But we got to hit a couple more things. This isn't just James Franklin going to Virginia Tech. There's an effect then on Penn State. The initial one being the buyout of James Franklin's contract. Now, to understand how this worked, Penn State would owe him around $50 million if James Franklin did not get another job. Per the contract, he has to make a good faith attempt to get another job, and whatever he would make at the new school would mitigate what Penn State owes him. Now, some games can be played with that. You know, Virginia Tech could say, oh, we'll pay you $1.50, and, you know, Penn State would still be responsible for the other $50 million. Well, it can't be that way. It has to be a credible amount. And the problem with that is, what is an amount that is valid? So it feels like Penn State negotiated with James Franklin. They came up with the number $9 million as a buyout. And James Franklin, of course, has his contract with Virginia Tech. How do you look at that $9 million that Penn State owes? Does that kind of bail them out and make more money available for other things?
Yeah, I think so. Again, Pat's pretty smart, and this was not an overnight decision to fire James Franklin when he did it. He understood that his coach at the time, and James basically said it on the Home Depot college. This is all he knows. This is his identity. This is it. This is all he knows, and his identity is completely tied to being a college football coach. Kind of sad in my view, but that's the way he is. So Pat knew that at the end of the day, the $49 million was just a contractual number and not a real number. So smarter than the average bear, that guy. Smarter than the average bear, Jimmy.
Well, he was counting on this happening.
Absolutely.
But to say he knew it would, he was betting on it happening. But I think that fortunately worked out well for everybody. Just take a look at what's going on down at LSU.
Right.
And you realize it was not in the best interest of James Franklin or Penn State to make this drag out. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter one. We're just going to start talking Penn State in quarter two.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we spent the first segment talking about James Franklin moving on to Virginia Tech. One last question there. What will you consider success for James Franklin at Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech?
Short term, long term.
Yes,
short term.
Both.
Long term is they make their college football playoff team multiple seasons back to back. That's a long term. Short term is they become second tier relevant sooner than later. That's what I consider success for him at Virginia Tech.
Well, I think the bar will be lower there than it has Absolutely. Been at Penn State. It'll be interesting to see. Plus, he's in the ACC, and maybe this is looking too far ahead. What is it at year 2030 that teams could, like Florida State and Clemson, could start abandoning The ACC, the buyout is much less. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, he has through then. I think while the ACC is considered at least among the Power Four, it's going to be interesting to see. All right, let's shift gears, Andy, to Penn State and their coaching search. What's been fascinating to me, a couple things, Andy. I think Pat Kraft has done a good job at keeping things pretty close to the vest. We're not everything we're hearing is strictly rumor.
Correct. Okay? Everything's hearsay.
It's conjecture.
Correct.
All right. I could put out something here that I heard Andy Shea is the right candidate for the job, okay? And, try to create that conversation. But it's fascinating to me that every week it seems to be a new hot coach. We started with Cignetti, went to Matt Rhule, went to Joe Brady. Elko had his time. Brian Hartline has had his moment. This past week, Andy, it's Terry Smith. Oh. Interim coach has been getting the attention. And he has a lot of factors there, traits that Penn State fans like. Is he a valid candidate?
So they won a football game.
That's a help.
Do we think this conversation is the same if they lose the game to Michigan State? I'm just asking, Jimmy.
Of course not.
Of course not.
Here's my question to you. Will a conversation still be going on if they lose to Nebraska this weekend?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
So, but here's my point. I think he is someone that Pat has said he will consider all along. Here's what I really think. I don't think he's going to be the next Penn State head football coach. I know the players made a really strong and passionate, some of the players made a strong and passionate case for him this weekend. There's a lot to like. Here's what I think I do know. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's one of those guys that whoever Pat lands on, Pat says this gentleman comes as part of the deal. He's just to Penn State for Pat. And he's elevated him to the interim coach. He's just to Penn State and what this program needs on many fronts. Great recruiter, personal relationship, long family ties with passion and purpose to the university. Those things still matter. So I think whatever direction Pat goes as a coach, I think one of his first few directives will be, there's a guy named Terry Smith that will be on your coaching staff and recruit for you. And I don't think Terry Smith cares more about the bigger picture. It's not problematic for Terry to have been elevated this role and then go back to what he was doing, because doing it for that university clearly matters more than doing it somewhere else at a higher level and getting paid more money. That's Terry in a nutshell. It fits so much about the Penn State culture and what their fan base wants, but I don't know if Pat pulls the trigger. Other factors when you're looking at Terry. I mean, early signing period's coming up. Penn State, now they lost them, they've lost more recruits. They're down to 10 in this class. Maybe Pat's of the stance that I'm just going to have to eat that sandwich. You know what I mean? It's like a tuna salad with like nasty onions and big old celery chunks in it. Yuck. But I'm going to have to eat that one for the greater good. So I still think the more important date is that he have a head coach in place by the time the transfer portal opens. We'll see about that. But the clock is now ticking, Jimmy. I mean, what does Penn State have? You got two football games left. Maybe a bowl game, maybe not. But either way, you've got two football games left. And I think now the clock is really ticking on his decisions.
Andy, I agree that Terry Smith will at least have the opportunity to stick around. I think it's still going to be, you bring a coach in, he's going to be allowed to name his own coaching staff.
Sure.
But I think if Terry's not on the field, as position coach, they'll find a position for him in the administration. Okay. I don't think it's like, I don't think Pat will say he will be a position coach on your roster.
I don't say that, but that's just my opinion because he's too darn good.
Well, you know what? I don't care how good a coach is. The head coach has to name his staff. Has to. And it has to be the connection there. Might whoever new comes in retain some of the coaches, including Terry? Sure. But I think it's got to be his call. Andy, you say that you don't believe that Terry would get the job. I don't think he will either, but my question to you is, why not?
That's a really tough question for me because I'm a Terry fan. I go way back, and you know, now there's some videos starting to emerge. I saw some the other day of when Terry was the head coach at Gateway and some of the fire and passion. He also became the athletic director there and ran their athletics department. Sort of some of that, you know, you learn a little bit more about who he is and what he stands for. And I don't know, you know, one of the things you zeroed in on early was Pat talking about, you know, Penn State being a desirable job and him sort of saying, I'm going after, you know,
big game hunting.
I'm going big game hunting. Terry is not big game hunting. I think, me personally, I think he's the right man for the job for the next 2 to 3 years. I definitely think he's the right man for the job for this upcoming, you know, open off season, next season, and at least one more off season. Maybe into a second season coaching. I think he's the right guy for the job, but I don't know if Pat feels like he has to pull a bigger trigger. I think Terry can navigate this and win football games next year. I really do. I think he can navigate it better than somebody new, but is there the pressure to go big game hunting? So I say that because everything tells me that Pat has to look, is looking in a different direction. What do I feel? I feel Terry in this unique situation is the best man for the job right now in a short-term basis.
Andy, I think that here are some advantages of Terry Smith getting the job. I think retaining as many players as possible from the current team, you know, they know what they have in Terry. Like him, apparently the players like him. Him coming back, I think, will lessen the number of guys hitting the portal. Number two, might he help with the recruiting class because it stabilizes things? Oh, this is the Penn State and the coaching staff that I committed to. Problem with that, though, is I fear that ship has already sailed. You know, those players who have decommitted, they're already committed to other places.
They're gone.
Yeah, I think they're already gone. The other negative, Andy, is come portal time, Penn State will use their financial resources to bring players in. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But what you won't have is someone like, say, Eli Drinkwitz, bringing how many players from Missouri?
Correct.
If he were to come in. So an outsider can bring in those outside players in the portal. Terry would not be able to do that.
100% agree.
You know, the other advantage to having Terry, if Pat wanted to, he could name Terry Smith the next coach today. He could do it right now, okay? Now, he's not going to. I think it's for Terry to have any prayer at all, he's got to win against Nebraska. What is it, Rutgers then the following week?
Yep.
You know, maybe seeing a win over Nebraska would be enough. He has the advantage, just like Virginia Tech did, of hiring James Franklin early enough. James is already putting together his staff, and he's already recruiting at Virginia Tech. To the detriment of Penn State, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He already took his micromanaging people in place that he likes and knows what to do with them. They're going along with him. They're his people. Here's the one thing I'll say about Terry Smith that is a compelling case for him. Real quick, Jimmy. One of the things this team lacked was an understanding of who it was and what its identity is. They lost football games along the way. I get that. And it's not because they won a football game. But I think in the course of a month, he helped a very talented group of individuals understand who they are and what their passion and purpose needs to be. That is what you're getting from the players now. Okay, now we know exactly. They get it now. They understand it. That they were directionless under James. That's a big, big, big feather in Terry's cap. Not because they won a football game. I saw it against Indiana. You saw glimpses of it against Ohio State. They played it hard as they could possibly play in an impossible situation against Iowa. He helped them understand that in a month to the point to win a football game. Can he win two more? Possibly, but they know who they are.
Well, I think Terry's candidacy depends on a win against Nebraska. Final home game at night. A lot of attention to it. We'll see what happens there. But right now, when we come back, Andy, quarter three coming up. Your questions, we ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time for your questions and we're going to ask Andy. All right, Andy, let's get right to it. Let's start with Jeremy from Arlington. He says, Andy, with some apparent support for Terry to coach, if it happens, will we hear Joe Paterno's name uttered again?
Yeah, of course. You will. Yes. Yeah. Terry's not a shy man. Terry's not afraid to wear his, as you've seen and heard, he's not afraid to wear his emotion of any kind of emotion on his sleeve and share it with you. And I'm 99.9% sure with a legacy that extends back to his father. And Joe was there when his father went to school there. Yeah, I think you're definitely going to – you'll hear about – I don't think you'll hear Terry standing – I don't think you'll hear Terry standing on a issue-type soapbox. In other words
– he's not going to be lobbying for them to change it to Joe Paterno Stadium.
Right, name the field, bring the statue back. You're not going to hear that. But will they not – will Terry not utter his name? Absolutely not. If it's appropriate, Terry will use his name and provide examples. He played for him. Good gracious.
And I think there's a willing audience for that, Andy. And I could see him, you know, in those events where he's talking in front of donors, that he's not afraid to mention Joe's name. And that may translate into dollars and cents. Okay, let's move on to Frank in Jonestown. Andy, let me ask you this separately. You ready for somebody to take a shot at me?
Let's go, Jimmy. Let's go.
Here's what Frank says. Hey, Andy, Jim has seemed to be pushing for more passing. Do you think last week's performance by the running backs convinced him this team should be built on the running game?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, he's asking you that question, Andy. Do you think that game convinced Jim?
No. Absolutely not, Frank. Good try. I saw it in the first three games, and then obviously we all know what happened. I didn't care what the identity was in football terms. I just think this team needed to understand who it was and what it needed to do to be successful. I mean, with that much talent, the running game, that's Captain Obvious, duh. I do think Terry has had a couple frank conversations with the offensive coordinator. How many times did you just sit there and go, why are they slamming the ball into the middle third of the offensive line time after time again? Guess what you didn't see last week? Slamming into the middle of the offensive line two-thirds of the running plays. I think he had some direction, provided some leadership direction, and some very frank and direct expectations onto the offensive coordinator and what he wanted to see, without limiting him and telling him how to do his job, which he might have done that anyway. But they just had to find something. That was the Captain Obvious, and oh well, there it is. What was it? 45 touches, right, Jimmy?
Quite a number. But let me now respond to it, Andy, since Frank's taking his shot at me. I never said you stopped running the ball. Obviously, the talent is there. But how about diversifying the running a little bit, running outside the tackles once in a while? And how about also, if you establish the run, that opens up play action passes. What things I've been screaming is play action pass, and how about throwing the ball on first down? Remind me again, Andy, that play that went for 75 yards and the touchdown. What was that play and what down was it on? Can you help me here, please? I don't recall.
I don't recall either, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Wait, let me look it up for you, Andy. Let me look it up for you.
No, you don't need to look it up.
Oh, Andy. First down play action pass when the other team was anticipating run. And you have a receiver wide open down the field. Wide open, Andy. And the other thing that I'll point out was in that second half, that they only had two passes. One was an incompletion. One was the touchdown, which was the little shuttle reverse action kind of deal, which in essence was a running play. To Frank's point. And there were a couple other called passes where Grunkmeyer tucked it and scrambled and did it successfully. What I will say is it was working, Andy. So you stick with it then, okay? I'm not so locked into, this game plan or that one. You got to go with what works. Congratulations to Terry Smith for recognizing it. I'm giving him credit. Maybe it's Andy Kotelnicki who deserves the credit. All right, Andy, we can't get through a segment, an Ask Andy segment, without a food question. Ooh, how about Vic from Hagerstown? Food question here, guys. With Thanksgiving coming up, what food are you most looking forward to? What is it, Andy? A turkey guy? Stuffing?
No, not
pumpkin pie.
Nope, not stuffing, not pumpkin pie. Turkey is second, top of the list. Mashed potatoes with homemade turkey gravy. Top of the list.
Andy, that is a sensational call. Just want you to be aware that for Thanksgiving, my Thanksgiving, I am in charge of the mashed potatoes, okay? But here, and this is me cheating a little bit because I love that answer, the potatoes and gravy. My favorite comes the day after Thanksgiving when I get like the turkey, the stuffing, which I love the stuffing, gravy, and maybe even throw some mashed potatoes. Put that all together in one pan, Andy. And then go watch some football while eating that. It's a tradition. When I was a kid, that's what my dad and my dad would make that the day after Thanksgiving. We would then watch Pitt play Penn State. Andy, that was the best part of Thanksgiving dinner, actually the day after Thanksgiving. So,
good question, Vic.
Good question indeed. All right. Andy, let's go to Carl in Waynesburg, who says, what do you think Pat Kraft is looking for in a coach?
Ooh. Yeah, do we really know? I've said it all along, and it's hard to explain. I don't think he's looking for the best coach. I think he's looking for the right coach. Penn State is a niche job. There's some nuance to it. There's some differences that might not be the same at like Florida or LSU. Every school's different, but Penn State it's got some unique niche to it. So obviously Pat understands and recognizes that. I think it was one of the things that, when he did his due diligence on the offseason in terms of James and not being successful, what would he do and actually pulling the trigger? It became untenable on those fronts. So I think he's looking. I think he's looking for somebody that won't run away from what Penn State is, but has the ability to put their own handprint football-wise on a team, not in the Penn State mold, in their mold, while not losing the Penn State mold culture that is so important to this. I think he's looking for that combination if I was to narrow it down, but it is a very niche job and it is a very unique, and I think it takes a little bit of a different right person.
It is, and it's hard to put your finger on exactly what it is that makes Penn State unique, Andy. I think a lot of it has to do with Joe Paterno and him coaching for so long and coaching a certain way, and that's what the fans have come to expect.
That's what they know best.
I think if you look at like the Southeast Conference schools, LSU and Florida are looking for the same coach.
They're looking for the exact same coach.
Auburn and Arkansas probably are also, but they're probably not quite at the same level to get that guy.
They don't have the resources.
But, that coach looks the same way. What Pat is looking for, I saw an interesting article that talked about, Kurt Cignetti. Everyone wants the next Kurt Cignetti. What does that mean? So Kurt Cignetti, but what is it? What was on Kurt Cignetti's resume that would make you think you could have predicted success? Maybe not this much success. And one of the things they pointed out was, head coaching experience at multiple locations
and levels,
and a winning record everywhere he went. Success at every level. So that you don't just have, can you be convinced that the Ohio State head coach really is a great coach because he was placed into a unique position,
right?
Coaching at Ohio State. And I think with Brian Hartline, even though I think you're maybe taking a little bit of a risk, but there's a really high ceiling there. But Brian Hartline doesn't have that head coaching experience. One of the guys that Andy, you and I, we were talking about between segments, Bob Chesney, the James Madison coach. Well, if you look at his record, Andy, he's won at multiple locations, multiple levels. Ironically, now coaching at James Madison. Who did he take over for? Oh, Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
Kurt Cignetti had some background in Pennsylvania. Bob Chesney, by the way, from Pennsylvania. Played college football in Pennsylvania, so he probably recognizes, the issues at Penn State that are local to Pennsylvania.
Correct.
And the Penn State fans. So there's an example. That's not me pushing for him. It's not me hearing anything. But it's an example of maybe that is what you are looking for, Andy. We shall see. That is it for quarter three and Ask Andy. Lots more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Andy. I am Jim. Andy, earlier I asked you the question. I just want to get back to it very quickly. I asked you the question about what is success for James Franklin at Virginia Tech. And you said short term, long term. And we went both ways. But what should James Franklin's goal be for next season, number of wins? Do you want to hear their schedule real quick?
Sure.
Out of conference, VMI, Old Dominion, interesting, an old Penn State coach there, and at Maryland. Then in and also James Madison. Then Virginia, BC, at Cal, and here we go. At Clemson, at Miami, home to Georgia Tech, then NC State and Pitt.
500, 6-6 would be outstanding. Maybe it could be a 5-7 team. You know, it. You know, the way James build, it's not a quick fix. Their roster is depleted. Their funds are low. 6-6 would be. That's what I'll say. Is that would be a respectable first salvo.
You think the fans would be happy with that?
No, because they have unrealistic expectations now.
I do too. All right, let's move on. Let's get to this Penn State team, Andy. You know, when you're a team that is 4-6, there is no such thing as a big game. However, this is a big game for Terry Smith. It's the last home game playing a Nebraska team that I believe is 7-3, but Penn State somehow, Andy, a 9.5-point favorite in this game. My first question is, I felt like Penn State played really well against Indiana and lost, played well against Michigan State, of course, and won. I'm not as high on their performances against Iowa and Ohio State as perhaps you were, but has this team turned a corner in your mind?
No, they haven't turned a corner. But what they have is they have been handed and have assumed ownership of what these last eight quarters look like. I mean, I saw the halftime thing. I don't know if you saw it. Terry's halftime speech at Michigan State. Did you see that, Jimmy?
Yes.
Yeah, where he talked about the pencil. He clearly, in that moment, said, look, we've talked about the pencil. I've been writing this script. I've been telling you what we need to do. We have been coaching you this way. Da, da, da. We're done. I'm handing this pencil to you. It is now your responsibility to pick it up and write with it. I'm done taking responsibility for your actions on the field. I love that. So he has clearly, to an experienced veteran, you know, sort of beat down team. He didn't do it instantly, but in that moment he said, the rest of this is up to you. And it started that second half and it will continue into this game, that he will hold them accountable inside that locker room for what happens. Not that he's trying to avoid the responsibility, but because he understands that they're talented enough to do it on their own accord. And that's maybe a missing ingredient, but I don't think they turn a corner because they have to validate, in my opinion. What does validate mean? That means you go out and do something, go out and do it again. I need you to do it again. And then you can stack from there. So I need to see it better. I need to see it, you know, the same or better at home, final home game of the season with a respectable opponent standing across from you.
You know, Andy, you explained that very well, and I think very much you are right. I probably would have answered the question, has the team turned a corner? I would have said yes, because I saw it against Indiana. They, to use your word, I think they validated against Michigan State, but you're right. If they don't do it against Nebraska,
it's all a wash.
It's all for naught.
Correct.
So they do have to do it again, but it was wonderful to see. And as long as you're referencing, you know, Terry Smith and some of his quotes, I'm going to bring up what he talked about in the in his press conference this week, where two things he said, which I personally loved. One of them was, I've been preaching we have to get the vertical passing game going, and we saw some of that. Thank you, Terry, for that. Number two, he mentioned, when asked about the defense, he said they re-implemented the predator package, which Manny Diaz brought in. So a reference to my guy, Manny Diaz. But what I liked, Andy, was his ability to, you know, give credit to another name, Manny Diaz, but also to change things.
Yeah.
He didn't just same old, same old. He has instituted change in how the game, how this team has been playing. And I give him a lot of credit for it, Andy. It doesn't hurt that I agree with the changes that he's made, but we talk now about validating things, playing well against Nebraska, maybe a win there, a win with Rutgers would take them to 6-6, create some momentum. Does it matter, Andy?
I think it does. Yeah, I really do. I think when you're a fan, you kind of tend to look forward and go to the 18th tee when you're on the fourth hole. There's my golf reference for the day. You tend to jump at, well, does this really matter? Is it really relevant yet? I mean, it is. I think it's really relevant now. I do think this team wants to go to a bowl. I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago. Now I'm like, no, I think they want to keep going. I don't know how many of the players are playing. I don't really care, but I think the majority rules and majority wants to keep this rolling. So, I mean, Nebraska's going to present some things that are interesting, but, and will challenge Penn State, and I think they will be pushed, but I'm interested to see what they can do. And do I think it matters? I've always said head coaches set the tone and tenor. And even when he was hired, in those first couple of weeks, Terry was still telling you, we're not close. We're basically not close. There's some things that need to change, and we're working on them, but we're not close. I think he's clearly now saying, I knew and exactly what needed to be changed. Like, he knew that. That's a feather in his cap, by the way. But I also think he's implemented some change, and now he thinks it's working.
It is, Andy, and that's a great credit to him, okay? Because the only thing worse than, you know, having to be here when the team was faltering and made the change at head coach is after a couple more losses, still trying to get this team to play, and with a lot of guys who have no real incentive, okay? A team incentive. It's all now, all the seniors, they're thinking about next year and playing on Sundays. Other guys are thinking about, you know, heading to the transfer portal. For him to just keep this together, and I think you're right. I'm looking at the 18th hole, Andy, you know, after four holes, I'm playing well. Could I shoot 80 on this day? Okay, based on the first four holes.
Right.
The problem is the 13 holes between now and the 18th, I'm probably going to double bogey half of them. But Terry has kept this team centered. They into today, winning today's game, 1-0, to borrow a phrase from James Franklin. But I think somewhere in Terry's head, the script is winning out, going to 6-6, getting a team to the bowl game. And hopefully, even if he doesn't say it out loud, I'm sure he would love to have this as a full-time job. It would be a dream come true for him. So he's got that script written out, but he is playing it, you know, chapter to chapter. He's not going to the end of the book yet, to try and put in another metaphor there. So I give him a lot of credit, Andy. Now, what we have, though, is a game against a decent Nebraska team. They're 7-3, but their stud quarterback, Dylan Raiola, is out injured. So they are going to be playing a backup, inexperienced quarterback, as is Penn State.
Yep.
What do you see for this game? What do you want to see for this game?
I need to see Penn State. So I will say this before I tell you real quick about this. Terry has humbled this team. He has focused this team, and he has given them direction. Mostly, it's on both sides of the ball, but more than anything else, he's helped this defense unmask itself and not be afraid to fail. And that will be important this week. That leads me to Nebraska, because Penn State's run defense has to be good, because they've got a really good – Emmett Johnson is a really good running back, and he is running the show at Nebraska right now offensively. He is making it much easier for the backup quarterback, TJ Lateef, to be good, right? He's got – I think Emmett, since Raiola's went down, he's got like 115 or 120-plus yards in four of the five games since he's went out. He caught some passes last week. He's good out of the backfield. He opens everything up. Penn State struggles this year if a team hits 300 yards. They're 0-3 when a team – 0-5, excuse me, when a team gets to 300 total yards of offense. This team will run the ball. Penn State's going to run the ball. This is a little bit of old-school football. Penn State's run defense is under the microscope this week, because if Emmett Johnson is carrying the load – for Nebraska and making hay, it's going to make it a very difficult, much more difficult day for Penn State. That is the key for Nebraska. That is the key for Penn State. Nebraska's running game, Penn State's defense. That's my marquee matchup of the week.
Prediction.
Penn State 24, Nebraska 17.
Wow. I have it 24-14. I'm looking at that 9.5-point spread, Andy, as I always do. My bold prediction, because I want to see it. First down, play action pass, Andy. We're going to see another big play. How about you for a bold prediction?
Nebraska has fewer than 100 rushing yards.
That would be huge, Andy, for this defense.
I think they can do it. The linebacker play is improved under the new system. The implementing some of the Manny Diaz stuff has helped the linebackers more than anything.
All right, there's your guy again, Andy, Manny Diaz. All right, he's still winning games for this team, Andy. That is it. That's the final word. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Andy. Make sure you join us next week on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.